Hello, everyone. Hi there. Welcome. All right, let's get started with our time together. Glad to have you with us today, whether you're joining us online or here in the room. We are glad to be gathered as the family of God in this place. So welcome. My name is Hannah. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team. As we get started this morning, I want to invite you to stand if you're able. We're going to sing some songs to help us focus our minds and our hearts on our great God who is here with us, who wants to meet with us today. Let's praise him for his goodness together. Here we go. to come here and be grateful together, yes, for all the things that God has done for us. I know a lot of times when I decide I'm going to pray a prayer of thanks, the first thing that my mind goes to are like the physical blessings in my life, right? Like I think about my family, my friends, my job, my home, things like that. And those are all wonderful provisions from God to be thankful for. But I think it's also great for us to go one level further and meditate on the spiritual blessings that God has given us. That's the ways that God has blessed us by uniting us with Jesus Christ, by bringing us into his family, the ways that he has blessed us that are not just physical and temporal, but are eternal. And so to help us meditate on that today, I want to invite us to hear these words. These are from Ephesians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians about the truth, about what the ways that God has blessed them in Jesus. So listen to this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing these words together.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my praise you again and again. So all I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. I will worship you. song. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song.
Thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church and this faith community. God, I thank you for how good you have been, how faithful, how gracious, how merciful you are. God, I pray that this morning we would open our hearts to hear, that this would be a message for us and not just the person sitting next to us or someone who needs to hear it, but God, this would be a message for me. God, I pray that you would speak through Pastor Charles this morning. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, well, hey everybody, you can go ahead and grab your seats. If we haven't met, my name is Tiffany and I'm one of the pastors on staff. It's great to see y'all today. If this is your first time joining us, I think I saw some new faces out in the atrium. Welcome. We are so glad that you're here, whether you're here or you're joining us online this morning. We'd love to meet you. And so if you're new, you can, after this service, you can head out to Next Steps. And we'd love to just give you a small gift as our way of saying we're so glad that you're here. All right, well, you guys, summer is winding down. I don't need to tell any of you guys that, but here at Blackhawk, we have a few opportunities still to meet some new people to connect. So I want to share with you this morning just a few quick ones. So first up, you guys, this week, Wednesday, we're going to have 20s and 30s worship night. So if you are a young adult, we invite you to come on out. We're going to be doing that at Blackhawk Fitchburg building, and that will be at 6:30, just a time of worship and some community building time. Next up, this next Saturday, we'll be having the Asian American Ministry Picnic. And so we'll be doing that at Taylor Park. So if you're Asian American and would like to participate just in this culture specific space, we invite you to join us. I think there'll be picnic. So bring a dish to share, but also some pickleball. So that will be fun. And then lastly, if you work at Epic, which is like right half of us, I don't know, we invite you next Sunday here at Braidway. We're going to have an Epic picnic on the lawn. So whether you are moving here and this is your first time and you work at Epic, we invite you to come on out. Or if you've been working at Epic for 20 years. So this is just an opportunity to make some connections about other people who work at Blackhawk. So we'll be feeding you next week.
All right. And so also, this is just kind of a quick, but because summer is winding down, that means school year is starting. And here at Blackhawk, that means also that we are some opportunities like community groups and Blackhawk Bible study and courses are going to be kicking off in just a few weeks. So we're going to be talking about this a ton more next week, getting into more specifics. But if you are a planner, you like to plan ahead, you're ready to start signing up, registration actually opens today. So you can check out our website, go ahead and see some of the groups that were being offered in courses this year and kind of plan your fall. If you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to stop by the Next Steps area because we'd love to help you navigate and figure out how to get connected with what you're looking for. All right, and so lastly this morning, I want to talk about something that we do, child sponsorships with Food for the Hungry Bolivia. So in 2017, we started this global partnership with them. And so we get to come alongside a city called La Hostumbol, Bolivia, and where we have the opportunity as a part of that partnership to do child sponsorships. So if you haven't heard of these, basically what you do is each month you sponsor a child and you get to know them through letter writing, different ways, as well as their family. And the money that you give goes to help Food for the Hungry provide things like medical care, clean water, food, education. It's just a really cool way to be able to serve and come alongside that community. My husband and I, we have been doing child sponsorships since we got married, so almost 20 years. And so it's cool, like over the long haul, as you come alongside these families to be able to see the kids like go from being a six-year-old to being 16 and just seeing how they change and grow. So it's just really meaningful. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to their website. It's fh.org/Blackhawk just to get some more information. You can do this as a, you know, a single person, with a family, as roommates. Even I've heard of community groups kind of coming together to do this partnership. So hope that you will check that out. All right, well, I think that's all I have for you this morning. And so we're about to head on over to our to Charles for the message. We are in the middle of a prayer series. And so this is week two. So I'll hand it over to him.
Hi, everybody. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. We are in a sermon series on prayer, and we want to encourage everybody to incorporate prayer into your daily life. And one of the ways we're doing that is we are doing a 34 days of prayer together as a community. So pick up one of these on your way out or on your way in, you already picked up one, or download something from the website and join us. It's 34 days. Today we're starting, we're on day eight. Okay, don't go back and try to catch up. Do day eight today and get started. We want to do this together as a whole community. And after the 34 days of prayer, we have the week of prayer. Now this is different. This is actually in person. 5 days of that week. We're going to gather in all the different sites and gather together and pray as a community, pray as one body in Christ. You will hear more details about this. That's coming up later. All right. So this is a series on prayer. And the topic that they assigned to me is confession. So before I get started, just kind of a quick survey. How many of you are excited, like, to hear a sermon on confession? Hands up, we have a few, okay? Anybody like, hoo-hoo, go ahead, you can cheer if you want. Clap, anybody? Okay, wow, it's like, this is just sad. Okay, look, I'm not offended. I'm not taking it personally. I understand. I understand why you're not excited about confession. I mean, most people do not wake up in the morning going, yeah, I want to do some confession today, all right? That doesn't happen. And for those of you who did raise your hand, I'm guessing at least one of you is like, you know, I'm going to send a link of this talk to somebody I know. They need to do some confessing. Maybe. Confession is not exciting. And I know why. I mean, okay, I watch a lot of police shows. And in these police shows, there's always, you know, the detectives, you know, in a room interrogating a suspect. And what are they trying to get? A confession. That's right. In the criminal justice system, confession means you admit that you committed the crime. Now, in more normal parts of life, confessions like owning something you did that's embarrassing. Like, you know, like I go to a book club, but I didn't actually read the book. So I start off by saying, okay, I confess, I didn't read the book. A little embarrassing. And then there's the religious context, right? In the Roman Catholic Church, to confess is to formally declare your sins to a priest. So in our culture, confession is to tell somebody something you did that is either criminal, embarrassing, or sinful. Huh, sounds like fun, huh? And so we don't want to confess. That makes sense. We don't want to confess unless we get something in return. So a criminal will confess. I watch a lot of TV police shows, right? They will confess often as part of a plea bargain for a reduced sentence. And in my book club, I confess because I want to avoid the greater embarrassment of being caught pretending to have read the book. And in the religious context, we confess sins to get forgiveness so that we're not punished for those sins. In other words, confession is something we do reluctantly in exchange for something else. Is it any wonder nobody's excited by confession? Now, here's my problem. I'm given the task of helping you incorporate confession into your daily prayer lives. Yeah. Which means I actually need to do something first. What I need to do is transform your understanding of confession. I need you to think of confession differently. I need you to think of confession not as telling somebody something you did that is criminal, embarrassing, or sinful. I need you to think of confession not as something you do reluctantly in exchange for something else. I need you to take you to a different, entirely different place. I need to take you to a place where you don't have to confess, you want to confess. And that there's joy in confession. That's about as far as I can go in about 30 minutes. It's a lot to say about confession. So let's get started. This different understanding of confession, first of all, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. Yeah, surprisingly, the Bible has a lot to say, amazing things to say about confession that is very different from what our culture says is confession. So let me begin with a little quick little reminder. The word confess or confession, these are English words. And the Bible is not written in English. The what you have on your smart device or in the book on your lap, that's a translation. The Bible is written in three different languages. The first two-third of the Bible, the Old Testament, is written in biblical Hebrew with a smattering of Aramaic tossed in. And then the New Testament, the last third, that's written in Koine Greek. Okay, it's a different language. So here goes. Psalm 32. This is Old Testament. This is written in Hebrew. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh. When you see the word Lord in all caps, that marks God's personal name, Yahweh. I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The Hebrew verb for confess there is yada. So what does yada mean? Well, if you look it up in a Hebrew lexicon or Hebrew dictionary, this is what you get. Definition one, to praise. Definition two, to praise God. To confess one's sin, to begin the praise and thanksgiving. Huh. That's a little weird, right? Yeah. Okay, Psalm 32, the word confess, to confess one's sin. That's how the verb is being used in Psalm 32. But elsewhere, it's used to talk about praising God, like here in Psalm 18. Therefore, I will praise you, Yahweh, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. There, the Hebrew verb is yada. It's exactly the same form. The verb yada in Hebrew means to praise and to confess. That's a little odd, right? Let's go to Greek. The Greek word for confess, to confess, is homologeo or exhomologeo. This is what the two primary verb in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament itself. And the meaning of these two words? To praise, to confess, to extol. Huh. That's a little weird, right? What? The same verb, to praise and to confess. What's going on here? What's going on is this. The Hebrew verb yada and the Greek word homologeo, they don't mean to praise or to confess. The fundamental meaning of these two words is to proclaim, to declare what is true about God and humanity. Let me say that again. The fundamental meaning of the Hebrew word yada and the Greek word homologeo is to proclaim, to declare what is true about God and what is true about us. So to declare what is true about God, that's praise. God is my help. He is my refuge. He is my rock in my time of need. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is holy and just. He is righteous. He is everlasting. His ways are beyond me. He is faithful to his promises. What am I doing right now? I am yadaing. I'm declaring truths about God. And that is the foundational concept behind praise. So what if we start to yada people? Well, in the Old Testament, yada is used a couple times to praise human beings, but generally speaking, it's more about confession because confession is about speaking truth about humans. So what does the Bible say about us? Well, the Bible says that we are sons and daughters of God created in his image to help him rule the world. But because we rebelled, we have become corrupted such that our drives, our desires, our inclinations, our instincts, they are tainted. They are dysfunctional. They go in the wrong direction such that what we want, what do we want? We want fame. We want money. We want comfort. We want pleasure. We want to be at ease. We want power over other people. Our desires are messed up so that what flows from us, things we say and do, they are also broken. This is a key understanding about who we are. Okay, key biblical principle right here. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Okay, let me say that again. We're not sinners because we sin. We're not sinners because we do all these little things that are wrong. No. We sin because fundamentally we have a corrupted nature. We're sinners. This is a critical understanding. What flows from us, however much we want to dress it up and make it look nice, flows out of mixed motives, disordered desires, corrupted nature. What am I doing right now? I am yadaing. I am speaking truth about us. That's confession. So look, I want you to remember this. I want to give you a mnemonic that might help you remember this definition of confession. So the Greek word confess is homologeo, and it, etymologically, you can pull into two pieces. You have homo and logeo. Homo means the same, and logeo means to speak. So homologeo, if you put it together, means to speak the same as. So it means to verbally agree with God. When you agree with God about who he is, that's praise. When you agree with God about who you are, that's confession. All right. And that gets us to really the first big idea for this talk. Big idea number one. Praise and confession are joined together. Praise and confession are joined together. When you speak truth about God, that's praise. When you speak truth about yourself, that's confession. They are two sides of the same coin. There's this fascinating verse in the book of Joshua. So in the story of Joshua, there's a guy named Achan, and he majorly messed up. He majorly messed up. So Joshua goes to talk to him, and this is what Joshua says to him. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." What a weird thing to say, right? I mean, how did these two things fit together? Right? Two parts of the sentence, how do they fit together? Well, they only fit together when we understand the innate connection between praise and confession. Right? The word yada does not show up in the sentence, but the underlying concepts are right there. Right? Give glory to God. Honor him. That's praise. That's speaking truth about God. And then what happens? Speak truth about yourself. Confess. Praise leads to confession. The two are joined together. They're two sides of the same coin. They're fundamentally the same act, which means you can do one without the other. When you start seriously praising God, it will lead you to confession. And when there's no true confession, there's no true praise. Join together. Why is that? Because speaking truth lies at the foundation of our relationship with God. And that gets us to the second big idea for this talk. Confession is not something we do reluctantly in exchange for something. Rather, it is speaking truth as part of a loving relationship with God. Let's go to 1 John. Okay, this is now in the New Testament. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess, homologeo, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So before I talk about what I want to talk about with this passage, I know some of you are looking at verse 9 and you go, wait a minute, Charles, it says right there that we need to confess our sins and then he will forgive us. We need to keep confessing so that we can keep getting forgiven. So I need to address that right now for those of you who zoomed in on verse 9. Okay, so let me talk about this first. Understand verse 9, you need to read the context, okay? Look at verse 8 and verse 10. Who is John talking to? John is talking to people who says that they're without sin, that they're not corrupted. They do not have a sin nature. And they also say that they have not sinned, that they have never done anything wrong. Apparently, among first century Christians, there are people teaching that we don't have a sin nature and we can live with a sinless life. So what John is doing in this passage is he's correcting a false teaching. And what he's saying, his argument is pretty straightforward. He says, if you claim to be without sin, you make God a liar. Because God declares in the Bible that we're broken people living in a broken world. And that Jesus come to the world to rescue us from the power of sin. And we cannot do this ourselves. And if you say, hey, we have a sinless nature and we can live without sin, what you're really saying is God is a liar and Jesus died in vain. So, okay, and this is really important, okay? So what this really means is that as part of our declaration that Jesus is king, as part of our decision to follow Jesus, there is a confession. What we're saying to Jesus is, hey, Jesus, I'm a broken person. The power of sin is all over me. I cannot escape. I cannot free myself. I count on you as my king to free me from the power of sin. That's what we're doing when we make a decision to follow Jesus. So any one of you out here, if you already made a decision to follow Jesus, you have already confessed your brokenness, your corruption. And because of that confession of faith, you have received the forgiveness of your sins. Not in part, but the whole. Which means you do not need to keep confessing in order to get forgiveness. That is not what John is talking about here. John is talking about that initial confession of sin, confession of faith, not a constant confession of sin. Okay, I'm gonna need to pause here a little bit because I know this is maybe a new idea for a lot of you. So if you grew up in churches, many churches, you heard this taught. I grew up in a church like this where they taught me that unconfessed sins are unforgiven. They also told me at the same time that when I put my faith in Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. And they never really told me how that fit together. Okay, so I wanna make that clear for you today. The decision you make to follow Jesus is a confession of your corruption and brokenness, which means your sins are forgiven once and for all. You do not need to keep confessing in order to gain forgiveness. All right. So let me get to what I wanted to say about this passage. What I want to say about this passage is that if you notice, John links the idea of confession with the idea of speaking truth. You see that? When you don't confess, you're deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you, and you make God a liar, and his word is not in you. The confession is connected to the idea of truth speaking. And because John teaches us that speaking truth is foundation to our relationship with God. Now, why is that? Well, John answers it in the three verses right before here, verses 5-7. This is what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Why is truth speaking at the foundation of our relationship with God? Short answer, God is light. He can't help but be light. You see, here's a basic problem we have as Christ followers. As Christ followers, the moment we decide to follow Jesus, we're tossed into, we enter into a fellowship with God. The Greek word is koinonia. It's about a community of mutual love and affection and loyalty. When we decide to follow Jesus, we enter into this relationship, this koinonia with God who is light. And it is his nature to drive out darkness and deception. And this is just a wonderful metaphor, because what it's really saying is this. Before we meet Jesus, we live in darkness. We can't see ourselves. We have fanciful notions about who we are. And then we meet Jesus. We decide to follow Jesus, and light comes in. And the closer you get to God, the more clearly you see God and more clearly you see yourself. Does that make sense? Following Jesus, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to speak truths about God and yourself. It is a natural part of following Jesus. All right, let me pull it together. Let me pull it together here. I want to make it clear what I want us to learn today. So, things to know about confession. Number one, repeat, we do not confess to get forgiveness. This is just important to understand, okay, this concept. And I know many of us come out of church traditions that teach us that we use confession to get forgiveness. I did that. So, you know, I came out of a church that says unconfessed sins are unforgiven. So what does that mean? Well, it meant that I started praying like this. I started praying like, God, I confess all my sins, even the ones I don't know about. And then I started praying for future sins to get them preemptively forgiven. Why do I confess like that? Because the entire goal of confession is to get the forgiveness so I don't get punished for them later. That's the point. So it is so critical we get this straight. We do not confess to get forgiveness. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Not in part, but the whole. Because you've already confessed your brokenness and corruption before Jesus, before God. This is not why we confess. So why do we confess? We confess because we are in a loving relationship with God. Look, you gotta know this about God. He is not a detective trying to sweat a confession out of you. All right? He is not the divine tyrant who going, oh, missed that one. That's not his attitude toward us. No, he loves you. He loves you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to become like him, to live out what it means to be his sons and daughters. And part of what that means is that you, us, all of us, we learn to see the world through his eyes. We learn to be aligned with his view. We learn to agree with God. And when we agree with God about who he is, that's praise. And when we agree with God about who we are, that's confession. And so confession lies at the foundation of a loving relationship with God. Now, some of you are going to ask, okay, I get it. It's not about forgiveness. It's not about salvation. So what if I just don't confess? A Christ follower who refuses to confess his sins or their sins. Here's what happens. When we know about sins in our lives and we don't confess them to God or to other people, what we're doing is we're building a wall between us and God. Right? See, you see, what's going on is this. What we're saying to God is, you're a liar and your light doesn't shine here. Okay? We delude ourselves about who we are. Your light doesn't shine here. So what's happening is we're building this wall that blocks God's light. Remember, it's not about salvation. It's not about forgiveness. It's about koinonia. When we build up that wall, God feels far off, not because he is far off, but because you walled him off. And so what happens? Darkness. Darkness. Power of sin dominate. Why? Because sin lives in darkness. Sin is like a vampire. Sin thrives in deceit and hiddenness. And so when we have hidden sin, when we have things that we do in secret, what do we feel? Guilt and shame, which is exactly what sin wants us to feel. Because when we feel sin and guilt, what do we do? Well, the last thing we want to do is to go to God and confess. And that's exactly what sin wants. Right? Sin says, hey, wallow in your sin, in your guilt and shame. Sit in darkness. Don't go to the light. Because sin knows that when we go to the light, what we'll find, we will not find shame, we will not find guilt, we will not find judgment. What we'll find is the loving God who died to free us from all of this. So go to God. Walk in the light. Number 3. When we do speak truth about God in us, transformation happens. We talk about transformation here at Blockout quite a bit. And the reason we do that is actually one of our 6 distinctives. And we get this from our website. You can see this on our website. It says, whoever you are and wherever you are at, you are welcome here. At the same time, we are a community who is being transformed by the love of Jesus. Following Jesus means that there will always be a next step of growth and formation. Well, you are welcome to come as you are, but we do not want to leave you unchanged because following Jesus is about transformation, which means, and there are steps that we can take. It's about collaborating with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How do we collaborate? Well, one of the starting points is that we agree with God about who we are, right? We agree with God about who we are. Confession is how we are transformed. You want to be transformed? Confess. Man, that's hard. That is hard. Look, I think we can learn to praise God. Right? We can learn to speak truth about God. I think that's easier for us. But speaking truth about ourselves, it is intensely difficult to speak truth about ourselves because there's so much at stake because it's about me. It's about me. I grew up in this broken world surrounded by people who are trying to tear me down. We have a world that is unjust, that is violent, that's exploitative. And so living in this world, man, it's lonely, it's exasperating, it's exhausting. We're constantly questioning our value, our worth, our identity. Is it any wonder that we all have become masters of self-delusion? We lie to ourselves. We say things to ourselves to protect us. So we say, no, it's not me, it's them, it's their fault, okay? It's on them, it's over there. No. We cherry pick facts to justify ourselves, to make ourselves look better. We tell stories about ourselves to comfort us, to make us feel good because it becomes intolerable otherwise. So speak truth about ourselves? Are you serious? Here's the thing to know. God knows all this. He knows that we live in a broken world that is violent, that is unjust, that is exploitative. He knows about the casual cruelty that goes on among family and friends. He knows why you need to delude yourself to protect yourselves. He knows that. It is why he came to the earth and died, so he can free us from all that. We have to get this, okay? God doesn't want us to confess so that we feel bad about ourselves. That is not the point. God wants us to see ourselves as we are so we can also see the person he is moving us to become. You see, underneath the practice of confession is the certain knowledge that we are the sons and daughters of God. And if you believe that, if you truly believe that, if you truly believe that underneath the layer of sin and corruption and dysfunction and anxiety and fear and jealousy and insecurity, underneath all that guck is the life of God in us waiting to come forth, then we cannot wait to have all these layers of corruption and brokenness stripped off of us. We want to get rid of this horrendous, broken way of being human. We can't wait. And confession is where we start. Confession is agreeing with God about who we are, collaborating with the Holy Spirit to see ourselves as we are, not just as we are now, but the person we're becoming. There's glory in that. There's joy in that. When it's all stripped off, there is the revelation of the glory of the sons and daughters of God. And that's what we yearn for. Let's talk next step. Step number one. That's this talk. Know what is true confession. There's a lot of false notions of confessions out there. They cause shame, guilt, and reluctance. If you have those false notions, you will not want to confess. Know the true understanding of confession. Remember homologeo. Speak the same as. Agree with God about who he is, that's praise. Agree with God about who you are, that's confession. Know the true understanding of confession. And that will lead us to confession. Step number two, confess the sins we know about. You have things going on in your life right now that you're like, I just wanna hide it right there. I don't wanna talk to God about it. God knows about it, but I don't wanna bring it up. I don't wanna agree with him about it. It's not affecting your salvation, it's affecting your koinonia. It's affecting your fellowship because you block God off. You're living in darkness. And I just wanna encourage you, I wanna invite you. It is so good to be in the light. Being in the light doesn't mean you live a sinless life. Being in the light means you're upfront about how you're broken. So bring that before God. Live in that light, trusting that God is not out to punish you. God is out to love you and transform you and free you from the ravages of sin. But we want to go beyond that. We want to deepen our knowledge about ourselves. Because it is critical for us to remember that we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The goal of transformation is not that we stop doing wrong things and saying wrong things. The goal of transformation is that my desires, my drives, my inclinations, my dreams, they're restored fully as befitting the sons and daughters of God. We want that. And so confession goes beyond, I did this wrong. Confession goes to asking deeper questions like, how am I broken? What are the layers of dysfunction and sin and corruption that is covering up the life of God within me? Big questions. These are not questions that we can answer in a day or a week or a month. They are a lifetime of meditation. For me, in my 20s, I started realizing that no, there's something wrong with me that goes beyond things I do and things I say. And what God has shown me is, yeah, I have different layers of brokenness, but one of the primary ways I'm broken is that I am passive. I move away from conflict, stress, and difficulties. Now you're thinking, what kind of corruption is that? That's no big deal. It actually is. It shows up in all kinds of ways in my life and causes damage all kinds of ways in my life. I'll give you one example. Because I move away from conflict, I say yes to things I shouldn't say yes to. So Serena will come over and say, hey, can you clean up the dishes? Yes, honey. And I don't. Deeply frustrating. Not to me, to Serena. Deeply frustrating. This was a cause of so much strife in our marriage, early on in our marriage, okay? This is the kind of stuff, the underlying ways in which we're broken. Okay. How are you broken? What are ways in which you are being covered up by these layers of corruption and dysfunction? Figure those things out. Not because, oh, I'm just like learn by myself. No. We do this because, for me, it helps me get closer to God. Speaking truth about myself allows me to speak greater truth about who God is, and then vice versa. And second, when I speak truth about myself, I collaborate with the Holy Spirit, and I get transformation. I get to see glimpses of the Holy Spirit working in my life, moving me toward the person he wants me to become. And there is great joy in that. So what I want to do is encourage you. I want to encourage you to begin this process or continue this process. We have some resources on our website. If you want to get your phone out right now, you can go ahead and scan this code. Go ahead and get your phone out. Scan the code, and it'll take you to a resource page, and what that page will give you is a few exercises, simple stuff about how to do confession, how to do self-examination, maybe do some journaling. Start the process of knowing who you are. I want to encourage you to do that, okay? Because speaking truth about yourself is the foundation of our relationship with a loving God. For the rest of our time together, I want us to do one of those exercises. Okay, I'm gonna take one of those from the resource page, and we're gonna do it together. And let me remind everybody again, I just have to keep saying this over and over again. It's not about guilt, it's not about shame. If you're feeling those things, please don't. Sorry, how do I stop? How do I stop you from doing that? I have no idea. Please don't. Trust in the love of God. Right? This is about koinonia. This is about restoring the right relationship. Bring light, God's light into your life. Submit your brokenness before him, giving God the space to work. Let him do the work. Because we can't will ourselves into transformation, only God can. So here's what I want us to do. Let's read this together, okay? Psalm 139, verses 23, 24. Let's read this together out loud. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm gonna give you about a couple of minutes of quiet. And I want you to, in your mind, or quietly, just pray these two verses. I want you to quietly pray these two verses. And some of you already, you have things going on in your life right now that you want to bring to the light. I ask you to do it. It's so freeing to do it. It is freeing to live in the light. Cast away the guilt and the shame. Do it. Okay, do it. And for those of you who are like, I can't think of anything right now. When you pray this, quiet your mind and let God, let the Holy Spirit bring to mind things about you. The question we're asking is, how am I broken? Have that conversation with God. Let's start that now. Father, you love us. We're so grateful for that. And you want so much for us to become your sons and daughters, to live out the life that you poured into us through your Spirit. And we want that too. And we know that's what you want, but man, it's hard because there's so many things piled up on us, corruption and brokenness that we lived with all our lives. And we know you want to help us remove them, but it's painful and it hurts. We feel so guilty and so ashamed. So Father, help us to trust you, that you're the light, you're the loving Father, and that when we breathe these things to the light, you will remind us how much you love us and that our sins have been long been forgiven and that we are being transformed by your power into the people you want us to be. So help us to speak truth about ourselves, Father. Teach us about who we are now and the person you want us to become. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stairs.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah. You know, God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us.
Let's stand and sing together.
His mercy is
Black Eyed Church, that is my hope for you is that as you leave today, that you would know that you know that the God of the universe loves you. He not only loves you, but he likes you. He loves spending time with you. And so we can come to him and we can say the things that we need to say. We can confess to the things that we need to confess, the things that are true about us. And that doesn't change what God feels about you. And so he desires to transform us as we walk with him. Amen. All right, well, a couple of things, quick reminders. One, if you didn't grab the prayer sheet, invite you, please pray with us over these next few weeks. Also, if there is anything that we can be praying for you today, don't be shy or hesitate to come on up after the service. We'd love to do that with you. All right, well, as we go out today, I just wanna speak this word of blessing over you from number 6. So feel free to open your hands to receive this blessing. So Black Hawk Church, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be so gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace this week. All right, Black Hawk, have a good week.